Chapter 15. Two Confessions. Everyone stared at Bob Weldon. They were too stunned to speak. Finally, Victor said,
"I thought you were up to something."
He looked sad and disappointed.
"But I can't figure out where you found the score. If I couldn't find it, and I'm the one who hid it..."
His voice trailed off. Bob let out a hollow laugh.
"Believe me, it wasn't easy."
He got to his feet.
"I didn't plan this," he said, and began to pace. "You're the one who gave me the idea."
Victor boomed,
"I gave you the idea. That's ridiculous."
"Ridiculous? That's what I thought, when you couldn't find the score. How could anyone, even you, be that forgetful?"
"I have a lot on my mind," Victor mumbled in defense.
Bob ignored him.
"I decided then to teach you a lesson. I would find the score and hide it."
"By sending it to Paris?"
Benny asked.
"Well, that idea came later. Why not take it and sell it, I thought. Serve everybody right. Who'd guess I did it? No one ever says thank you or notices anything else I do unless something goes wrong. Then I get blamed."
"Oh, Bob," Melody said. "We couldn't get along without you." She reached out to touch his shoulder, but he shrugged her off.
"You may know that," he said to her. "Does anyone else? Does the great Victor Pirelli know it?"
Victor eased into a chair.
"I know it," he murmured. "I just forget to say it."
"I contacted a dealer in Paris," Bob continued. "He offered me a lot of money. I'd be rich, have an easy life, no more fetching and carrying for people who don't appreciate it."
"Where did you find the score?"
Henry asked.
"I didn't, not at first. I searched everywhere in Victor's room. Nothing."
"So you wrote the notes?"
Suli said.
"Only one note. To Victor. I lied about receiving one myself."
"And your room wasn't ransacked,"
Violet concluded.
"I lied about that, too," Bob told her. "And then, Victor, you gave me your tuxedo to have cleaned."
Victor nodded.
"Yes, I remember that."
"The score was in it," Bob said.
"Yes, yes," Victor responded. "I remember now. I put it in the inside pocket."
"So there it was. I decided to mail it to the dealer. The sooner it was out of the country, the better. Then tomorrow I'd follow."
Bob sank into the chair beside Victor.
"You musicians are so talented," he said, "and everybody appreciates what you do. I have only one talent, organization. It's a thankless job."
"But a necessary one," Victor told him.
Bob murmured,
"This orchestra has been my whole life."
He covered his face with his hands.
"I'm so sorry."
After a tense silence, Benny turned to Melody.
"What I want to know," he said, "is who was that strange man you met in the town square, Melody?"
Melody's face reddened. She glanced at Victor, then looked away. She couldn't seem to find the words. Victor came to her rescue.
"I think I can explain that. Melody has been feeling somewhat unappreciated, too. Am I right, my dear?"
"Well, it's just that the schedule is so hectic," Melody explained. "I never seem to have time to think. I've been afraid that my music would suffer because of the pressure."
"You play like an angel," Victor assured her.
She smiled. "Thank you, Victor. Perhaps it's just performance jitters."
"But who was the strange man?"
Benny asked again. "He conducts another orchestra, one that tours less. He offered me a job," Melody explained. "I met him to give him my resume. He gave me information about his orchestra."
"Is that all?"
Benny said. Melody chuckled. "Did you think the score was in that envelope, Benny?" Benny was embarrassed. He didn't want Melody to know that he had suspected her. He opened his mouth to explain, but nothing came out. Violet spoke up.
"Suli and I never thought you had stolen the score, Melody."
"Violet's right,"
Suli agreed. Then she asked,
"Are you going to take the job, Melody?"
"That is the most important question I've heard today," Victor said.
He took a step toward Melody.
don't keep an old man waiting. What is your answer?
Melody laughed.
Oh, Victor, you know the answer. How could I leave you in the orchestra?
What about all the touring?
Henry wanted to know.
Well, if we didn't tour, I never would have come to Greenfield, Melody said. And most important, I never would have met the Aldens.
Victor hugged her. He and Melody laughed and cried at the same time. Then they hugged the Aldens. Before long, the tears were gone and only the laughter remained. Suddenly, Benny noticed that Bob Weldon was heading for the elevators.
Bob's leaving,
he said urgently.
Let him go, Victor said.
But aren't you going to call the police?
Victor shook his head.
Bob has made his own punishment. He will no longer be with the orchestra.
And word spreads fast among musicians, Melody added. He'll never work with another orchestra. Just then, Mr. Alden came into the lobby. Smiling broadly, he shook hands with Victor and Melody. To his grandchildren, he said,
I'm sorry I'm late. I couldn't get away from the mill. I hope you haven't been bored waiting.
The Aldens, Victor, and Melody smiled at each other.
We kept busy, Henry told him.
Well, that's my grandchildren, all right,
Mr. Alden responded proudly. They never waste a minute. Then he invited Victor and Melody to have dinner with them.
I'd like that,
Victor said.
I am very hungry.
Me too,
agreed Benny, and he led the parade into the dining room.